You're listening to
the Almost Anything Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome to this Mike and what the hell show is this?
Say Anything, man.
Say Anything with Mike and Daryl. Smitty and T show from 10 years ago. Doesn't exist anymore.
We're coming back with it.
We're bringing it back.
Yep, OG. Smitty and T show.
Welcome to Say Anything with Mike and Daryl. And yeah, so this song we're listening to right now.
Yeah.
Want to go ahead and just start talking about it? The reason I chose this song. This song just recently came into my purview. Mighty Mighty Bosstones. I guess they're a 90s band.
Of course, yeah.
And I was a big fan of them back in the day.
Right,
actually, this particular album, there's a few songs on the other, because they're much more punk on their other albums. This was the only one that was kind of like ska, kind of beachy.
Yes.
Everything else
almost
was more
like
ska
a Beach
punk.
Boys, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So this isn't one of their hits.
This song, this whole album doesn't really have a lot of their hits on it, actually. Mm. This album was one of their albums that was not liked by a majority of people.
Yeah, not commercial.
Well, it's because, I don't know, this is actually, I think, very commercial album, but I think they were so much a punk band that people didn't really like this. They turned so mellow on this song, but this particular song, man, this one struck a chord with me recently, because I remember in the 90s, I used to listen to this song. It's a sweet song. It's about a guy who's gone, you know, and you're basically, like, you just heard the lyrics. He's gone. He hopes you can hear me. I really miss him. It's basically like that. And it talks about all the things he wished he would have done before he died, or like writing and stuff. And not until, like, I used to love this song, and it was really sweet. It gets to you. But recently, man, it just made me think of my dad so much. So much. When I was just, I'm like, oh, fuck. My dad has been gone 12 years now, 13 years now. And it's got, you know, when it first passed, thinking about it all the time. Yeah. But, you know, over the years, you start to, like, okay, it's not as prominent in your memories and your thoughts. But when I heard this song, man, just like, oh, shit, I missed that, man.
Do you ever run into other people that have, like, lost their dad, too, and suddenly have, like a weird thing that you, like, go, like, oh, cool, we can bond about both of our dads dying or whatever, like...
Personally, no, I haven't. The only people I've met that I've met a couple people whose dads have been passed too, but usually they didn't have a great relationship with them.
Oh, man.
Or it was more.
So it's like, fuck that guy.
It's kind of like, oh, he's dead, but I didn't really know him, or blah, blah, blah. But I definitely had a good relationship, and it stings. But every once in a while, you get those people who've lost somebody. But all it is like, we can share in the loss. Like, I know how much this sucks, and I know that people that haven't had it don't really understand how it feels.
Yeah.
Because you can be sympathetic, but man, it's like...
And you can empathize, too.
Yeah, but it's just this inside pain that no matter how much you really talk about it, it's not going to fix it. You know, it's just kind of like, okay, well... But if somebody else has lost their parent, you kind of, at least, you understand that you can't fix it. You understand this is just going to always suck.
Yeah.
But you can make the suck a little less over time.
Yeah. I'm kind of in the middle when it comes to, like, that type of feeling, like you were saying, where, like, people, like, you've known... are, like, really bitter about their parents, so it's like, yeah, fuck them, I don't care. Because I'm not, like, the other side, too, where, like, I'm definitely not you, where it was, like, this person was, you know, the coolest thing ever.
Right, you didn't have as close a relationship, or, like, the family unit, I guess.
Yeah, so it was definitely, like, but... On the other hand, I'm like, it's not like I don't have a soul.
No, and you still love your parents. It's not like this thing, fuck like my parents because we didn't have that close relationship. No.
Whenever I get that phone call that's like, hey, your dad's no longer here or whatever, I'm not going to be like, so what are you doing for dinner?
You'd be like, you mind if I call you back? I'm just about to go into Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm kind of in the... I'm just about ready to see Star Wars Episode 9. Yeah. So
he's going to be dead still. I'll just come back to it.
You know, Adam Carolla talked about that, where he was saying, I don't understand how people, you know, they'll call you at 3 a.m. or basically at any hour in the in the evening or whatever to tell you, like, this person died or this person's no longer here or whatever. And he's almost like... Could it have waited till tomorrow morning? Like, you know, you could call me in the morning and say, hey, by the way, Dad passed.
Yeah.
Last night. You don't have to call me at midnight or 1 in the a.m. to go like, hey, he died. It's like, well, now what? Now I'm going to stay up all night and just be like, oh, that sucks.
I remember when I got the call, but it was one of those things where, like, I'm glad I got it when I did, but because it was, like, an unknown.
Right.
But, that would suck. Like, I don't understand ever, hey, something happened. Let me interrupt you at 2 in the morning to tell you that it happened.
Right.
When there's nothing you can do to change it.
Right. You're in a different state.
If he was sick and you're
whatever,
like, hey, we need you to come here so you can help him, fine. But, like, he's already dead. Like, okay, it's going to suck no matter when I tell you.
Yeah.
Might as well let you get this full night's sleep.
Totally.
And then I'll tell you when you're refreshed and we'll deal with it. But,
totally. Like, but I understand you got to – when some shit like that happens, you almost do it because you want to tell somebody because you want to talk about it. Like something
– that's usually like, what it is. Because I remember when this happened to me, like when my dad passed away. The first thing I thought of, because I didn't have a girlfriend and I really didn't have any like best friends. Like you guys knew him, but not well. Like my group of friends that I was with then.
Yeah, I met him a handful of times.
I'm saying nobody of the crew days that thankfully are long gone. Nobody of them really knew my dad or really cared to even know him. But the one person I remember, like my best friend growing up, he's the only person I know that was around here all the time and knew him. And I had this weird like gut reaction, like I gotta tell him right now. I gotta call. Just
this guy knows him. Like
this guy knows him, but it was more of me because I needed just somebody to tell.
Vent, yeah.
Because I didn't. Because I think I was. It just made me feel even more lonely because I didn't really have any best like good friends that I could trust and talk about that stuff. I didn't have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
I couldn't talk to like my siblings about it right then because they were super distraught and I was like, and they have their significant others that are, they're laying on their shoulders. I'm basically just sitting there like I have no shoulder to cry on.
I hear you. Like, the times when I lost my grandma and my, like, I lost both my grandmas already.
Yeah.
And my grandpa on my dad's side.
Yeah.
And all of those times I've had people that definitely, like you said, like, console and be like, hey, my grandpa just died. Can you help me out? Or can you at least, like, be my friend for a second?
Will you just spend some time with me? Because I'm fucking sad as fuck.
Or can you let me tell you how many good times I had about him.
Yeah, it's just reminisce poetically about it.
Yeah, I get it. I'm totally there. I just hate that, like, sometimes it has to be when you're, like, 21 or 22 or whatever, you know? It's not like when you're, like, 55 and you've already realized, like, things happen, you know? And,
well, yeah, because there's a lot of things in life where you're like, it would have been nice for Dad to have seen that.
Totally.
Like, most dads see those things.
Totally.
But yeah, so this song definitely just, when I heard this song, I was like, oh, man, did it just take me back to that terrible moment in the 2000s when that happened? And
it's so crazy.
It was terrible,
much...
but at the same time, it was such a sweet, like, song that I really enjoy.
It's so, just so. Like, I don't want to spoil too much of Inside Out, but that's kind of like what the message is about, is in that movie of, I won't get into specifics, but it is how much at the beginning of the movie, it kind of portrays, like, you know, these emotions as these little characters, you know.
Yeah.
Joy is a character, sadness.
Yeah.
All these different characters.
Like a Herman's Head type setup,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. So, obviously, at the beginning of the movie, you're thinking to yourself, or they portray it as, like, you know, everybody hates sadness. Nobody wants sadness around. They're always like, why is sadness even in the head? Blah, blah, blah. And then, like, towards the end of the movie, you realize, like, obviously in a creative way, that sadness is needed just as much in the head because it makes the memories just as good, and or it shapes because they have it goes in a more detail.
Right, I'm sure
about,
they have a creative style.
Exactly, but because all these like marbles are like these memories, and like the marbles were only one color at first, but now like the marbles have this multicolor, like, even shinier effect, and they're, like, even more special now because, like, they have, like, more
a nostalgic glow to it now.
Included in it. So it's, like, the sadness makes the color better or something, or makes the marble better in a weird way. And obviously, you know, you got to watch the movie.
It makes sense when you see it in context.
But, but you could take the message of, like, yes, sad things happen, but that also gives you the ability to feel the happiness still
that's
of other things that are in your life too. Like, you know, if every, you got to have the sadness to be able to have the happiness.
No. And that's something that I'm I'm just really kind of like recently realizing that.
Shit, like,
well, you don't, you can't have real happiness if you've never had any sadness.
Totally.
You know, because you don't. I don't think you'll recognize it, or you'll take it for granted.
It's like Twilight Zone, where they talk about like the guy that never loses in blackjack or whatever. Then he realizes, like, I'm not in heaven. I'm in hell. Like,
no.
This is not like, you know,
that
if
is
I never
so
lose
not the same
or
thing.
Whatever. Or it's not
only because I want that to happen to me. Because I've been that guy that I never win, and that is pretty much hell. So, yeah, I'll take the hell that's winning all the time.
Right. What about like the hell of like?
Because then you can fake lose. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm going to win. Oh, darn. Mm-hmm. Let's play cards. I could have four of a kind in my hand or a royal flush. I'll just be like, fold.
Well, here's the thing, though, is like anytime if you were like a huge winner in gambling, you'd still be like, this is heaven. Because everything else was hell in your life.
Yeah, that you know? Fell back on gambling.
Yeah, because, you know, like, oh, I lost my wife, I lost my kids hate me, blah, 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 but I win at blackjack.
But I'm a winner.
I always win at blackjack.
Yeah, that, okay, that, in that context, it might not be so much fun.
Yeah, but I understand, like, the duality, and it is weird. It's a very existential, like, it's hard to grasp, like, at one time in your life. It takes a lifetime to figure this out, like, of the duality of life of basically, like, there's going to be bad things in your life, and there's going to be great things in your life, and you got to be able to ride both of them in the same kind of way, almost, and, like, just
yeah,
ride it like
to.
This is, and yeah, of course you don't want the bad things to happen.
No, but you have to.
You have to realize that
they're
going to
happen. They're going to happen, and God, one of my worst things is to think
especially
about like
mortality.
My mother or girlfriend. I always think about those things, like, what's going to happen if my mother or girlfriend mm-hmm. passed? Like, because I'm really close to my mother,
yeah,
and I'm really close to my girlfriend, and those two things would devastate me.
Right.
But I was like, one of those things where you can't do that to yourself. You can't say, like, man, when this happens, this is going to be bad. When this happens, it's going to be bad. Because then that's all you think about. I've done that for a long time.
And it turns into, like,
I just
the helicopter parent or whatever, where it is like this suddenly, like, I can no longer have this person out of my sight mm-hmm. because I'm so fearing that something bad's going to happen. And you're like, but that's also preventing them from living a life or whatever. Or
no,
like,
man, I go through that all the time because I live with my mother,
yeah.
Who, yeah, I want to live on my own, but I do like living here. But it would be nice to go get my own place or to move in with the girlfriend. But she wants to live so far away, an hour away. Sounds far to me. But I'm such a close unit family where my brother lives a mile away. My sister lives like 2 miles away. And we are all hanging out on a regular basis and see each other very regularly. We like spending time with each other. So for me, it's difficult to say – I'm going to leave, especially with my mom now being a widow.
Right.
It's difficult for me to leave and be like, I'm just going to leave you in this 3-bedroom house by yourself, and you can just deal with living by yourself. That's, to me, it's hard to say, like, yeah, let's just do that. Even though I know that's probably what I should do and what people are supposed to do.
And it's not like your mom would be like, don't do it.
I don't think she'd be mad or anything, but it's just, it's more in my head. It's just like, I don't want to leave a widowed woman who I love, all
where
alone.
I
sometimes get resentful of my dad
like
for that fact.
Like,
I'm like, I wish you were still here.
Right.
So at least she had a companion. She
you
had
feel
somebody
obligated
here.
Obligated to take over the role of
not
him.
Necessarily. Yeah, exactly. To an extent of not so much as I'm not going to be her husband. I'm not going to be a sexual partner.
No.
But I'm going to be an emotional connection for her to at least have somebody there when she needs to talk to somebody.
Right.
Or, so you don't feel so alone.
Right.
Being in a house by yourself and just being in a house with somebody, even if you don't talk to them, is two completely different things.
I hear.
I mean, there's been plenty of times. Like,
I've never lived by myself I did for a few bits here and there, like 3 or 4 months, but never like long periods of just now I'm by myself.
No, but like even for that few months, it's really lonely, I'm sure. You're like, but if you had somebody in the other room, even if they're just watching TV and you guys weren't talking, it just feels nice to have – know that there's somebody there.
Sure.
You know, and that's where I know I get – I've had the house to myself for a couple weeks or 2-3 weeks on end or whatever. You get kind of lonely. You start – hey, Ben, I know we don't hang out much, but mm-hmm. do you want to have a slumber party?
You want to paint each other's nails? Or you want to get, like, you know, hair extensions put in?
Do you want to come over and hang out in a different room and not talk to me for a week? That'd be really awesome.
But it is weird that, like, it's, like, if it's a girlfriend, it's cool. If it's a wife, it's no problem. If it's your family, whatever, it's no problem. But I've definitely known from living with multiple roommates, if it's a roommate, suddenly there is animosity, or suddenly there is, like, God, is that guy always in the living room? Jeez.
Well, that's just it. Like, always taking up the common space or whatever.
Like, when do I get to, like, you know, play Xbox on the big screen? Or when do I get to do all these things, you know?
Totally understand.
Like, and then it suddenly turns into, like, your own private space is your own, like, sanctuary. And then you just hang out there all the time. And you're just like, how's that living? You know, you don't want to get into that.
But that's also like this thing too, because I bet you most of those people who, like myself, I tend to go to my room here because there's all kids around. Just because I'm in my sanctuary bubble, I want my privacy. I want my own zone.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I don't want that. I need that person to leave the house.
Right.
I just need my own zone.
I want the barrier.
Door. I just need to not deal with other people for a while. Like.
Everybody's like that. Everybody hears about, like, how shitty something is. Like, oh, this book. Did you hear about this book? It's so crappy. It's about this, like, S&M bullshit, blah, blah, blah. And then people still go, oh, well, I now need to check that shit out and see how crappy it is, in fact. Because people told me it was shitty.
I've had so many friends of mine on Facebook that said, like, oh, I read that book and it's a piece of shit. You're like, everyone's been saying that. Why did you pick it up just to
it's
prove
the
them
same
right?
Same thing with the Sharknado 3 and all this other stuff. Like Shark, it's like the fact that it is so bad that people go, "Oh, I want to see now." It's so bad.
Can we take a turn and talk about that for a minute?
Yeah,
they're not doing it right. Okay, you're supposed to make a movie you think is gonna be good, and it comes out shit.
No, now it's like,
when you
let's make
purposely
it shit.
Go out there to make it Sharknado and make it stupid and make it, oh, this is a piece of shit. It doesn't have the same, like, oh, this is fun to make fun of. No, this is what you intended to do. You intended to make it stupid, so now it's just like, meh.
So I find it fun to ridicule the artist that thought this was good and go, no, bro, this isn't good. Instead of going, no, I knew this was shit from the beginning.
It's
and
like,
you go, yeah, it is shit.
What was that movie? I think it was Thanksgiving?
Like Trauma, Toxic Avenger and shit
like
that.
But they thought,
like,
they were making good horror movies. I mean, they were.
Really?
I think they did. I don't know. Maybe they. What about, like, Thanksgiving?
You don't think they're in on their own joke? Like,
what about, like, Thanksgiving? Remember that movie about the killer turkey?
Yeah. I think they're in on their
but
own
they, it
joke.
It was a joke,
though.
But they also, like, I don't know.
I think they knew they were making a shitty movie, but they're like, yeah, let's make a shitty movie.
But doesn't that kind of, like, discredit the point of, like, making fun of a shitty movie? It's like, yeah, you put that in there so we make fun of that.
Maybe it's almost like if they're conscious, it's like, let's see how shitty they can make it, because certain times it makes sense. Like, you ever see that movie Rubber with the killer tire?
I've never seen it, but I know about it.
It kind of works in a weird way where it's not like you go, this is so stupid, I don't even want to watch it, or this is so stupid, like, let's, like, and I want to never make fun of it or whatever. No, it is like, I want to make fun
it's
of it, but it is still like, I think they know they're making this
it's on a
dumb
good level.
Movie. Like,
well, I think of stuff like Ed Wood, you know, where he thought he was making a really good movie.
Right.
But it turns into Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Yes.
And you're like, one of the well-renowned worst movies of ever.
What was that one with the French dude and goes like, hey, what's up? How you doing?
I totally know what you're talking about. Like, oh, fuck that girl. Fuck women. Fuck women. Hey, Bobby, how you doing? whole transition.
Yeah.
Or they're like, hey, let's have a discussion and play catch on the roof. Like, who just does that?
Yep.
What was that? That was the call or something.
Oh, or God. Troll 2, where he's just like.
Where there's no trolls?
Yeah. And
it's all goblins.
They're going to eat me. And I'm going to get killed.
Yeah. They're eating her. Next they're going to eat me.
Yep.
Beautiful. That's the kind of stuff where, like, you know, that kid thought he was doing a damn good job.
And
that's what makes it so great.
And the director went brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Cut. wrap. That's perfect. Put that on the slice. Yeah.
Yep, that's in the movie for sure. That's in the trailer.
Mm-hmm. Let's get a cut of that right now. We're putting that out in the trailer.
No, we're sending that to the dailies.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I can get enjoyment out of like the Sharknadoes,
yeah.
But it doesn't hit me as much fun to make fun of as a Plan 9, as something that they.
It's better when the director obviously isn't in on the. Dude, this isn't a good movie, bro.
Like, what was that movie now? The one with the crazy French dude, because he wrote it and directed it. I don't know what to look up. Shitty movies?
Shitty, yeah.
It's like a one word, like the club or the call or...
Yeah, something like that.
Whatever it is.
Anyway.
It's terrible, so we're saving you from watching it.
But I just feel that if I were to make a movie, that's the thing... Would I want to try to go out and make a shitty movie from the get-go or try to make a really – like something that – no. This is something I want to put my hat on at the end of the day and say this is me or this is what I want to tell my grandchildren. Yep, I made this and this was a cool movie, you know, a Shawshank or some sort of whatever, you know.
Well, personally, if I was going to put my name on it and like have it – like I want to promote this, I think I'd want it to be a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, making a crappy movie is probably fun and it's still probably enjoyable. I just may not be as much as like, hey, come watch me work seriously on Kung Fu, the Panda movie or whatever. The Kung Panda, what is that? What, the Kung Pao.
Right. And in the end of the day, your children have the same admiration either way. Like,
yeah, they don't care.
The kids that the screenwriter that made Shawshank Redemption, his kids have the same admiration as the screenwriter to Toxic Avenger
right.
or Sharknado 3. They're both saying, my dad made this movie.
He wrote
and
this
he's
and it's
awesome.
On TV. Yep. So he's famous.
He's famous and he's making us money and he made me have a cool life outside of whatever this stupid movie was. And then at the end of the day, then you go like, well, are they the same dude? Or are they like...
You think there's a lot of people out there that are like, I don't care if my dad fucking wrote Shawshank and Goodfellas and Godfather 3. He's a dick. Like,
maybe
because or like or do they say like I don't want to be known?
Because what like, if you were trying to then now do what he does? Go like, oh my dad did all these cool movies.
Oh,
now I want to write these cool movies. And then like the first movie you write, he's like, eh,
yeah, like Sofia Coppola.
It's all right. It's kind of good. Maybe
that's because I mean like because you got Francis Ford Coppola does great movies. And then you got Sofia Coppola that does movies.
Yeah, somewhat.
She makes a movie.
She makes things that are on camera.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you should have known she was going to be a bad director because she couldn't even take acting direction from herself. And you see her Godfather? Yeah. How terrible she is.
Oh, yeah, she is.
I mean, not that she's...
And Andy
she's
Garcia,
just
he's horrible, too. The whole movie's horrible.
The fact that they even made the
Francis
three.
Francis Ford Coppola, for a lot of reasons, is not that good. Like... For the same amount of movies that he's made that are great, he's made that are horrible. I mean, he's 50-50.
God, if you want to go on this topic, I've just been hearing this whole rant about how Stanley Kubrick is the greatest director of all time.
Right.
When, to me, most of his movies, in my humble opinion, are very overrated.
Did you see that one that is like the French Revolution?
I don't know.
It's horrible.
I don't know.
It's because nobody knows about it.
Because it's that bad?
Yeah.
No, I've seen like 2001 A Space Odyssey, which was...
That one's slow as fuck.
That's what I'm saying. The first 30 minutes, you basically just listen to a symphony.
Yeah.
And if you don't fall asleep and you make it past that, what good on you? But then it's just a slow-paced movie. And I understand there is a interesting message behind it, but the length he took and the dullness he took to get to that message was... painstaking to me.
Right.
Same thing I thought with not so much Full Metal Jacket, but that was two separate movies. I felt it was way too long to be considered a good single movie.
The Boot Camp alone is just a movie in itself.
That's what I'm saying. Boot Camp alone could have been part one. And then the war could have been part two.
But that's the thing. Maybe they can't do those types of movies where it's Kill Bill 1 and Kill Bill 2. You know, have to have it be one movie. Or that back in the day, they could have it be one movie because they were into that type of like, oh, no, this is going to be a journey.
And then how about like he takes The Shining.
Yeah.
and totally changes the whole story.
Against Stephen King's will, and totally is like, fuck off, I don't give a
shit. Which my whole point is, okay, if you didn't like this story, why did you agree to direct it if you're going to change the whole thing?
Right.
Like, because... believe me, I like his movie, and it's still entertaining. I'll give him that. The Shining is an entertaining movie.
Yeah.
The people who watch The Shining are insane. We watched, there's that documentary, 12, I think it's 12?
237 237, that's like what that.
It is, about one of the rooms in The Shining.
It's on Netflix, I think.
Man, if you get a chance, go watch it, because it is awesome. A trip. How people take that movie and extrapolate these stories out of it from thin air. I mean, they put some weird twist on what his movie was really meaning. The fake moon landing, the Indian genocide. It's all
I think
these...
that's art in a nutshell always.
Which is cool.
Is putting what this artist was feeling or thinking or doing in what he was painting or filming or creating. It was like...
I don't think it was what he was thinking.
It's not just a house with a person in front of it with a little vest on his and a little red hat. No, it's because... the red hat symbolizes his socialist angst, and the house is like his child upbringing and how he was only in a, you know, he was living in a repressive society and a caste system or whatever. And you're like, dude, maybe he was just painting a house with a fucking little dude in front of it.
Or red's his favorite color.
Yeah.
It could be as simple as that.
But that's the thing. People can't. People, it's too simple. It's too Bob Ross. It's too, like, well, it can't just be a house. It has to have something behind it, because that's what gives it value. That's what gives it mystique and, like, energy and why this thing is great.
I remember that in, like, my high school English classes, where teachers would put these deep meanings on these very mundane conversations that these characters had in different books that we would read.
Right.
And they'd be like, yeah, this character was wearing blue jeans because he was blue at the time, like, or like all these associations. And I remember years later, it's tearing me up. I can't remember the exact example, but I remember years later, like, she told me something about Moby Dick, and it was something about
an allegory for,
but it was an allegory for something. And then I read years later that, an article somebody did on the author and
Herman Melville
and how he was talking about it being something complete. Like, it was, he did have a meaning behind it,
right?
But it wasn't anything what my teacher was saying. So I'm like, so you took your own meaning and taught me that's what he meant by it.
Yep.
So
your own interpretation, and that's life. That's everything. That's religion. That's like fiction. That's nonfiction. That's everything about everything. It's like, but sometimes it works. Sometimes it's like, oh, I get that, and or sure, like, you know, you take from that, like, something great, but other times you're like, that was way off base, and that wasn't even what the fucking author was even trying to tell you.
Yeah.
And now you told me...
you told me the way other... wrong thing, and now I thought that book was a whole different meaning.
Right, right.
But,
And I've had that happen to me a lot of times, especially with the books we had to read in high school.
Yeah.
And college, especially, like... and certain books, you get it. Like, Animal Farm.
Oh, right.
You're like,
right.
Okay, the two-feeted animals and the four-foot animals. And
the pigs are walking.
Yeah, and they're different. They're treating them differently and stuff like that. You're like, okay, that's like
it's
us.
Obvious social commentary.
Right. Other times you're like, dude, I think, like, J.D. Salinger just wanted to write about a shitty kid's day in the park.
Right, this kid just having a fucking bad day, and he's just a kind of a loser.
Yeah.
Could it be any more than that?
Now you have to say that's, like, how we're going to, like, shape America for the next 45 years?
Right, yeah. This book has so much poignancy that it's going to create assassins and be a lore when it was just about a loser kid having a hard time, like, or
it was a drunk a kid writing lost. About a kid hooking up with a hooker, ditching school and not really liking life.
A hooligan. Just,
and you're like, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know.
Here's a trope that I just figured out, and it ties in with movies, but it also just deals with life as well. But it is the getting even. It's like,
yeah, and oh, I
people
heard.
Always talk about like, I want to get even and get even with someone. You know, somebody's like done something wrong to you, and then you go like, I want to get even with that guy. But getting even is never really, literally, even. Like, if that guy like stole $50 from you, and you go, I'm gonna get even with that guy. You don't go steal $50 from him. You go kill his dog or something. You know, you do something that's way more than $50.
Like, wow, that escalated quickly. Like,
that's not even. It's never like, I'm going to get even. It's always, I'm going to fucking raise it up four notches. Like, I would do this. Like, fucking A, this kid in my junior high class.
Oh, boy.
He fucking would always just come up to me and punch me in the arm for no reason. He would just be one of those kids that would just
try to give you the dead arm type thing.
Kind of.
I knew a couple of those kids.
And he'd just be like, hey, what's up, Daryl? And he just socked me one in the arm. And then I would hit him getting even.
Yeah.
This is getting even. Like, he hit me first. I would punch him back going like, all right, we're done. And then he would always punch me again harder a second time. And he's like, I'm just getting even. And I'm like, you hit me first, you fuck.
Now we're uneven because you hit me twice, and I've only hit you once.
This is never an even thing if it's always like you're trying to get two on me.
And it's always like, that guy. It's always that guy who's like, oh, I'm going to get even. No, dude, you started this shit.
Yeah.
It's always that guy.
What do you mean get even? Yeah. We already started even by you not starting it.
By you starting it, we were already uneven.
Right. And that's the dude we were talking about before where it's just like, what's the mentality of just always trying to be aggressive and fighting and just, I get it. 200, 1,000 years ago, probably had to have that guy be doing more of what his antics were than me and you going like, come on, man, let's just try to live all together and just be one big love field, you know?
Hippie fest.
Right. You know, I don't know. Maybe the aggressor or that type of mentality was the fittest back in the day. But I doubt that guy's still being the one that's going to be lasting 400 years from now.
No. It's just the bravado thing. I think that might be like a kid thing, too, like a testosterone thing where I got to – yeah, you hit me, but no, man, I got to hit you back. I don't care if I hit you first. It's just this I got to be the man at the end. I got to end this.
The bigger thing is probably – is he probably did it because he didn't have a dad at home or maybe he did have a dad at home and his dad was beating him.
Or could it be as simply as he doesn't really have social skills, so this was his, like, he actually did like you and want to hang out with you, but he's like, oh, I got to hit you. This is just, I don't know proper social etiquette.
I don't know
etiquette.
How to say, let's be friends.
Yeah, without coming off as like that weird guy that said, hey, man, let's be friends. Because how many friends have you ever had in your life that started out like, hey, man, let's be friends.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm good.
Not even
that,
like,
you creep me out if you ask that question.
2 years old or 5 years old, it's always just like, we're friends, I guess.
Yeah, like, if we like each other, we're going to be friends. If I say, let's be friends, it's already like, oh, I don't want to be friends with you. You had to ask me.
I always felt like as soon as we were friends was as soon as I said, hey, you want to hang out again? Like,
and you said yes.
Yeah, again? Pretty much. Or we were hanging out, and then we also said, hey, this would be cool if we did this some other time. Like,
that's the best sign.
That's suddenly,
let's do this again.
And then that guy went, yeah. Then I'm like, well, at least we're that.
I think it's more so if you do it again, because there's so many times I'll be like, yeah, let's do that again. And then as soon as you walk away, you're like, I'm never doing that again.
I mean, a genuine like, that guy's cool, or that guy's not a dick.
Yeah.
But there is some, like, dudes, obviously, it's just like that I love you, man syndrome, like all those, you know, movies where, you know, it's,
that's a good movie.
Guys don't have a lot of friends, you know, once you especially get into a relationship with a woman, you know, you don't.
I think that's the case. And my personal experience, the older I get, the smaller my friends list gets, because you can only really have.
Well, your priorities change.
Well, I think you can only, and especially, this is my personal opinion, I think you can only have really two or three good friends.
Mm.
You can have a lot more friends than that. You can have thousands of friends. But I'm talking about the people you really care about and want to deal with daily.
You can know a lot of people. You can have a lot of acquaintances.
Yeah, and you enjoy hanging out with them
or whatever that you wouldn't say, like, hey, this person's an asshole.
Right.
But are these people that you want to have in your life in an intimate way.
Right. Is this somebody that, like, hey, if you're at home alone, you got a couple beers, are you going to call that person to come over and hang out?
Right.
That person that you call to come over, that's a friend.
The person that you have pick up from the airport.
Yeah, that's exactly.
You miss your Uber, and suddenly, who are you going to call? You know, yeah. That's going to, like, actually pick you up from the airport. That person is, like, few and far between.
But see, and I've learned that when I was younger, I used to think we had a group of, like, I don't know, 10, I don't even know how many people were in that group. 10, 15 or so.
And that's fluctuated too. Like, I used to have a lot of friends in high school.
Well, that's all I was saying. Was like, I used to have like 10 or 15, but every year it's like two or three more kind of get kicked off. Not because I hate them,
nope.
But just because either they don't live the same lifestyle I want to live anymore.
Yep.
Or they have different things going on in their lives. Or you really learn that, like, this person really wasn't my true friend the whole time.
Yep.
A lot of times it's like, yeah, you're buddies because you're hanging out with their buddy.
Right. And then what now becomes what happens is you just now become Facebook friends.
Yeah.
And then you just suddenly just.
I don't even do that.
It is this, like, but that is, that's, Facebook is just the passive aggressive way of saying, I don't want to hang out with you in person, but I don't want to tell you I'm never not thinking of you, or I don't want you ever in my life, or I don't want to value the 2 years that we did hang out before, or whatever.
Well, see, I don't think of it like that. Like, if I don't really know who you are and I rarely talk to you, like, with the exception of family and some friends.
I'm assuming that this is the people that have 600 friends on Facebook.
Right. Honestly, most of my old friends that I really don't talk to, with a couple exceptions, I don't follow them because most of the time they're showing, like, the stuff they show is like, I don't want to see this stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, today I erased the boy because he commented on my thing. But I'm like, dude, you've been in town like 10 times and never told me. Why do I want to be your Facebook? That's just phony friend.
Certain things are like, that's the thing. It's not necessarily that they did anything wrong or that they didn't. I think you just lose touch in a way where it's like, we're just different people.
Yeah.
You know, they always say that.
Well,
like,
I think it's just true.
You lose your, like, all of your cells in your body change every 7 years. So, like. You are literally a new person.
Kinda. I don't believe that you're a new. Yeah. Your cells change, the DNA and the memories and everything else never changes. So you're still the same person.
Transferred for sure. Yeah, it's right. Still the same.
It's like saying I got a new Ford Explorer, a 2001 Ford Explorer, but I just got a new 2004 one.
But everybody will always say, like, you look back 7 years ago, are you the same person that you were 7 years ago?
Oh, it's impossible.
Right. Age and all those different things that, like, factor into you changing over time is definitely going to give in. But I'm talking about even just, like, yeah, like, the way you live life, the way you
even if dozens of you go down the same path,
right.
When you get older, and this is my personal experience, having too many friends is too much drama.
Well,
I only need one or two friends. If you have more than
that,
it's just ridiculous. But what was the point that we started with?
I feel like,
I got off
you
topic,
know,
sorry. Once you get to a certain age, I find that having 15 good friends is kind of pointless because I don't really care about 15 people enough to really consider your friend. None of you guys are going to come pick me up at the airport. None of you guys even tell me when you're in town. None of you guys call me. I only interact with the people that show that they actually cared about me too. And the older I get, I find that to be a smaller amount of people that are genuinely care about you. Not, yeah, they want to invite you to movies or something, but if something bad happens to you, if you lose your job, if you lost your house, if you get injured, are these people going to help you out?
I think a lot of people probably have, those three or four people. Sure.
That's what I'm saying.
It's
have
not
like going to
be
the,
like
the
20
dozens,
people.
If that's
sure.
what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. It's like those people aren't people you have to ignore. But these aren't true friends because they're not the ones. If you go to the hospital, are they going to visit you?
I mean, even
none of these people will visit me. Not a chance in hell.
I think even if you're like a celebrity like Tom Hanks or something like that, you're still that same way where there's like two or three people.
Of course.
That you're going to be like, no, I'll have them hit me up in the hospital. It's not going to just be like, even though all these people know me and all these people, probably would come up to me. And if I tweeted, hey, I'm feeling bad in the hospital, I'm Tom Hanks. And.
That's
I'm sure,
thing,
yeah,
that's
50,000 people would show up and go like, oh, sorry, Tom Hanks, hope you feel better. But is that really the people that you want to show up?
Well, my thing is, if I put something on Facebook like, hey, I'm in the hospital, I could really use somebody to bring me some food if you or right? I'm stranded, can you please bring me something to eat? Maybe you and my girlfriend. Everybody else, even though I have like 400 Facebook friends,
yeah,
none of them are going to help me out. They don't fucking care about me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
they'll do some humble brag like,
oh, I hope you're okay.
Nagoff, like, hey, man, I'm in Malibu, like, just surfing, you know, trying to just get back from Hawaii, but I wish I could.
Yeah, exactly. Like, little things like that. That's all I'm getting at. It's like these aren't.
You have to tell me you're in Hawaii, bro.
Yeah, they're still your friends. There's still people you can interact with. You don't have to just say like get rid of them. But all I'm saying is, the older you get, you have a smaller circle.
It's true. It's
that are true friends. You find out the true people, the people who will help you when you need it.
Well, I'm just saying, even though those are few and far between, don't think that it's never going to be a new person in your life. You know, don't feel like it's only going to be these two people for the next, you know, 40 years and only these two people. You know, it could be two people, but it could be a two different people maybe, you know, every few years or every so often.
That's not a real friend. If you seriously have a new two like best friends every 3 years, I think you're the fucked up person.
No, but I'm saying like I've met
people are going to change. You're going to meet new people. That wasn't the point of the topic. I was just saying you have a few, because even you get older, if you think if you get to 65, you're going to have 500 people that truly care about you and call you every day and come and want to feed you and come and want to like take care of you if you need it. And that's not true. You're going to have two or three people that really care about you.
Right. But what I'm saying is I've had them like be like decades where like, I've known this person and we were thick as thieves for like 3 or 4 years. And for whatever reason, it changed to another person where now suddenly I'm thick as thieves with this person for 5, 8 years or whatever.
Right.
I don't necessarily know why it suddenly changes, but it's not like I've only known this person for 30 years and I've only hung out with this person for 30 years and that's all I'm wanting to hang out for another 30 years.
I've definitely never been that person. I very rarely have long-term friends.
See, so it is the same.
That's all I said was you only have like two or three. I never said it was like the same person.
That's what I was trying to make or try to say is that it might be two people, but those two people change throughout your life. Absolutely. You know?
Personally, this is just my personal opinion because it makes it simple for me. The significant other and a best friend. That's
right.
That's the secret to a happy life. You could have way more friends than that and have way more people to hang out with.
That was the honeymooners. It was the
absolutely because you need the
Ralph Cramden and the
you need a significant other to have your romantic sessions with, and then you need your best friend to tell you how dumb it is to have those romantic sessions.
Right? Why are you married?
Yeah.
Why aren't you single like me? I'm so much better.
No, that's not what I meant. I'm just like, man, my woman made me watch 50 Shades of Grey yesterday. And then I told her, laters, babe, and she got mad at me. What the fuck?
That's the thing. So it's basically you want two things that you can tell the other person, hey, what's up with that other person?
So you can complain about the other person. Not complain, but you can discuss about them.
Hey man, what's up with that? What's up with my best friend? And then you go up to your best friend and go, what's up with my wife?
Yeah, it's pretty sad that I didn't realize that's how I thought about it until I said it out loud.
No, I feel you though. It's the same way. I get it. You definitely have those people, and you obviously, those relationships with your other relationships.
I just thought about it today because an old buddy hit me up. Just like I posted up a picture of me in the pool, and he responded to it. This is a guy that
that just sounded gay a little bit. Like I posted a picture of me in the pool, and this other guy hit me up about it.
Yeah, it does sound pretty gay. Well, maybe it was. Are you anti-gay?
No, I'm just saying.
But you're
like,
right. That was pretty gay.
Yeah, go on. How dirty does
so he get? Just he hit me up saying like of the picture or whatever. But in my head, I'm sitting there thinking, this is somebody who I was really close with. I was thick as thieves with for a number of years. It's like one of my best friends, right? And he moved away, and we stayed best friends for a while. And then for a number of years, he would come visit out here and never even mention it to me.
Oh, right.
Come stay out here for a week. Come stay out here for a couple of days. A couple times it was emergency, like family's sick, so he has to come check it out. Totally understandable. But after like 3 years of you making regular visits and not once telling this guy that was your best friend who likes you and constantly contacts you, I basically just took that as a, well, I guess he's done with me. Right. So when he, for like 3 years later, a random response is almost feels like an insult. Mm. Like, if you're going to talk to me, talk to me. Don't just like do a Facebook page like, oh, that's cool. Like, what, dude? I haven't even fucking heard from you in 2 years. It felt more insulting than anything.
I do feel that there's different orbits that friendships have.
Sure.
And, you know, as like the sun, you know,
like rings and
you know, you have your friends that are Mercury that are like the closest to you.
Right.
And you have them circling you, and those people are like, hey, dude, you're close, and you're the biggest thing around me, so you need to be, like, you know, everything around, you know. But then, like, the things that are like Pluto, it's like, yeah, you're not, like, someone I hate, but you're definitely not somebody that I'm having you pick up me from the airport. Yeah. No, the guy from Mercury, he's picking me up from the airport. Right. The guy from Pluto, yeah, he's liking me on Facebook.
Yeah.
He's – but what sucks is – is when a guy Mercury, yeah, moves orbit, and you're like, what the fuck? Like, you're Mercury. You can't, like, be now Pluto, like, or like Earth or whatever. Yeah. Like, you're – and obviously it's never like, hey, guy, I'm going to now be Pluto. I'm not doing it now, but I'm going to do it in 2 weeks or whatever. You know, he never gives you a heads up or whatever. Yeah. It's always just like suddenly I'm moving orbit.
It's I read this thing on Facebook recently. I think it's kind of poignant where it was these have you ever broken up with a friend?
Yeah,
it's a lot like of it's kind of like that. That's what it is. It's like it's almost because you guys were so close and friendly that it's almost like breaking up with somebody.
Totally.
It's like, it's saying like if your ex-girlfriend hits you up 3 years from now, is like, oh, you look cute in that pool picture. It's kind of like, why the fuck are you talking to me?
Yeah. You I haven't don't talked like to me want in you to years. Die.
Yeah.
But I'm like, not wanting you to comment on my Facebook page.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm making it too big, but
reaching out. It depends on how you ended it. It could be just like,
it was more of just like, yeah, it was just, if basically, let's say you
it's
had a girlfriend
you
and you guys were cool, and then she just stopped talking to you. You didn't even know that she broke up with you. She just stopped talking.
That's fucked up.
Right. So 3 years later, and you're like, well, you basically moved on. And you're like, well, that's just suddenly, unfortunately, yeah, that's how this relationship ended.
I guess
it's over with.
Yeah. That's how.
And then 3 years later, she's just like, man, that looks fun in that pool. Like, yeah, what the fuck are you talking to me for?
Well, those types of people, obviously, that you have in your life, you just need to block.
Yeah, that's what
and
I need
just
to do it.
Suddenly be like, well, I don't want them to
hate,
be like,
I hate
you know,
doing that because it's every so often you're like, well, that person may say something, but you're like,
I've
whatever.
Had to block
it's
a
been,
couple people,
yeah.
And it's not necessarily because I wish ill will.
No.
It's just I just don't want them looking into my life.
Personally,
I don't want them to
everybody
be part
I've deleted,
it.
I don't hate anybody I deleted. I don't.
Right.
Most of them are uber Republicans, so I got tired of reading their pages.
Right. Oh, I can't tell you how many people I've unfollowed just because, yeah, I was tired of like their bullshit, that whatever they shared or just the things. And this is family. This is friends. These are people that I still talk to on a regular basis.
Yeah.
But on Facebook, it's like, I can't be. I just don't want it.
That's a lot of my deleted friends. It's just when we talk personally, we get along fine.
Yeah.
But as soon as you start saying like, oh, look what your President Obama did, you're like, okay, delete that page. Or.
But that's what people love on the internet is that they get a voice for all these causes that are bigger than them because the internet is bigger than all of us. And so we want to be a part of it and we want to just like show people that we're educated or that we have complex thoughts and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, we all have opinions, but there's opinions, and then there's just babble.
Yeah.
Then there's just diatribe that just goes away from the issue, and it's just fodder for extremist people to just distract us from the real cause.
Well, I think Facebook should be like what they say for polite conversation. Let's not bring up religion or politics, and everyone
you
will
can't.
Get along.
You can't, especially when you have anonymity.
Because
you have
I'll admit,
a barrier of nobody's going to come back. Nobody's going to read a Facebook post and say, hey, let's go over to that guy's house and fuck him up because he said, let's keep the Confederate flag up.
Man, there's been
or
so
whatever,
many,
you know?
There's
it's
been
like,
so many times that I've kind of spite posted stuff.
Of course. Because
I read this thing about, like, oh, I fucking hate Democrats or I hate Republicans. And I'm like, I got to put up the exact opposite thing just so I can fucking spite post you. Here's but it doesn't do anything.
Here's the problem that I always face myself is don't go on the internet angry. If you go on the internet angry, you're going to fucking go on it and look at everything from an angry, skewed view and try to have it offend you. Suddenly, things that have no rhyme or reason or anything to do with you suddenly are the biggest thing that irks you about the whole world. And it's like, this is now number one cause that I need to stop.
Like Stanley Kubrick is the greatest director. Okay.
What
we
the
need to
fuck?
Fucking stop everything.
Right. And it's really because they're just upset because they didn't get paid enough. They had to work double overtime. Their kids are a piece of shit. Yeah. Whatever it is. And they go on the internet and try to just vent and try to just get their anxiety and get all of their troubles off by making something else feel like shit too. And it's this ripple effect. It's this.
It's like drinking. Like if you go to, if
totally.
For me, if I start drinking
everything
and I'm
is
sad,
like that.
I'm going to have
like
a
that.
Sad drinking experience. If I'm mad, I'm going to be mad.
Everything is like that. If it's like that.
Accentuate
with,
it.
You could get a phone call. If you're already in a bad mood and you get a phone call from a friend of yours and that friend says, hey, man, I just won 2 tickets to this concert. Isn't that awesome? Automatically, you know, he didn't necessarily say, let's go off the bat. You just suddenly, since you're in a shitty mood, you go like, what the fuck, man? Why'd you call me? I don't care about your stupid tickets.
Thanks for rubbing it in.
Yeah, thanks. I'm here just working, and now you just want some ticket. And now suddenly he goes, dude, I was just calling to invite you. Like,
yeah.
I was going to have you come now. Like, but you just suddenly, like, hear the good news, and you're in a shitty mood, and you push off the shitty mood, and now suddenly you piss off a friend that was going to do something good for you.
Who was actually calling you in kindness. You now made him angry.
But that's the thing. If you were in a good mood, he sells you the same thing, and he goes, hey, dude, I just got 2 tickets. You go, wow, that's awesome.
Sweet.
And
can
he
I
goes,
go?
Hell yeah, it's awesome. You want to go?
Fuck yeah.
Now it's a different story because you were already in a good mood.
Yeah, it's all about the space you're in when you hear that information.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is, but
that's happened to me a lot of times.
On the internet, it's the whole thing with the Key and Peele texting. You know, it's like that. Oh. You know, if you're in a shitty mood and you read a text, you're going to take that text in a shitty way.
Not to change the subject, but Key and Peele got canceled.
I know. I heard about it. It's a sad, sad news.
Sad day for anybody who loves comedy.
But it's probably just a matter of you know, a contract dispute.
Well, I read it was their choice that they had read
the record,
and that's what they say. But they're supposedly going to be doing like a movie every other year. That's their plan.
Well, then there you go. See, I think they're going to land on their feet.
They're going to be fine. They're fucking hilarious.
Hell yeah! And that's what's cool about, like, you know, people that are talented. You know, no matter what.
If you got true talent, you'll land on your feet.
Certain shows, like, obviously are beyond one person, like the Simpsons of the world and whatnot. Yeah, you can have people come and go, and that show's going to keep going.
Yeah.
But certain shows, it's like, okay, that show was around for 3 seasons, and that's great.
Yeah.
Now that person's going to go do something else that's not that, but exactly. Still funny, and you're going to still love it.
Yeah, but that's off. Yeah, I agree with that, and I agree with your statement about the friends too. Like, if you, it depends on what mood you're in. So it's always good to you're
noticed.
In control of your own mood. So, like, even though I know, I am prone to tempers, I guess, but like I'll have my moments, and if you hit me up or bug me in that moment, you're the worst thing on earth, you know.
Yeah.
But if you hit me up 20 minutes later. You're my best friend in the world. You know?
It is so odd that's the thing. Like, what if there was an app? What if there was like a mood app?
Or should be like
where
a,
you
like
could
a,
know when like when to hit up people and when not to.
They
hit
should
up
be
people.
Like they should be like mood contacts or mood necklaces or something. So it'd be like, hey, when it's green and blue, come and talk to me. If you see it black or red,
don't talk.
Stay
to
away.
Me. Yeah, this is the time I don't want anybody to hit me up.
That would be nice too. There's like a something that you could put like a color or something that you could change
or
on
online.
You.
Like, you know, like you could have like a Facebook. You know how it says like green where like on the messenger.
Oh right.
Where it's like either he's available to talk to in a text or he's like just through his cell phone or
oh, right.
he's not available at all. you could have that go one step further and have it be like, hey, this guy's pissed off right now. Don't probably talk to him about, yeah, like, the next time you're going to, like, win the lottery or whatever. Yeah.
This guy just lost his job, so don't tell him about how great your job is right,
yeah,
now. Wait until another week and he'll be able to hear it.
But that's the thing. Facebook would have to, like, take some sort of, like, biorhythm from you or whatever, or yeah, know something about you internally. Like,
oh. Okay, I'm going to change the subject drastically here. Yeah. I heard something amazing today on TED Talks. There's this guy, I can't remember his first name, but his last name was Negrabloom,
right?
Or something like that. Something like that.
Did you say something racist?
Yes, because his name was Negro. His last name had Negro in the name, but it was like Negroplume. Negroplume or something like that. Or I'm screwing up the name, but it's something along those lines.
Right.
Anyways, this guy's apparently been going to TED since TED started, and he since the very first TED, like in the 80s. Right?
Man, that guy's such a Negro plume.
Right? But he apparently, every time he's been on TED, he's made a prediction that has come true.
Right? Like what?
Like the touch screens, the buying books on your computer. This was before tablets were even thought of.
In 60s and stuff?
This, like, was in the 80s.
Okay. Because, like, I thought, like, like, if he's just saw something on Star Trek and then went, yep, that's going to happen.
No, he's a scientist, you know. Like, so he's been actually, like, physically working on these projects.
Right.
And so he's like, the touch screen, he was one of the first innovators. That his thing was a touch screen, and it also was pressure sensitive, so it would do more things. And then he had a couple other things that he predicted that I can't remember all of them offhand, but they all came true. And they show them all on this list.
Right.
And he just made a prediction that in 30 years, I'm like, oh my God, I wish this would have happened 30 years ago, like when I was born. But information is not going to be inputted by reading it anymore. By you reading something, that's not how you're going to learn. You're going to learn by ingesting. You're going to swallow
eating it?
You're going to swallow a pill. Hey, now I can speak Mandarin Chinese. You're going to swallow a pill. Now I know about the Battle of 1812.
Like fucking Matrix shit.
Exactly. And what he was saying is that what it does
it's
is
just an upgrade.
It'll have the information implanted in the pill.
That's bomb. When it goes
your bloodstream. The bloodstream goes into your brain.
I want it now.
The information that is privy that it needs will stay in your brain while the other stuff is released. And now you have that memory implanted in your brain.
Do you think, like, once we all know each other's language?
We'll just have one language.
We'll just have one universal language. It'll just be one.
It may not be like one universal language people talk,
but we'll all know
it. But it'll be
this,
like, hey, yeah, we all know it. So I could speak to you in English, but it doesn't really matter because you understand it fluently. Yeah. You could speak to me in Mandarin Chinese. It doesn't matter. I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
That would be fucking awesome. That's what I was saying. I wish this was 30 years ago because that sounds like it's going to change the world.
And if you could just know, I think that's what the problem with a lot of diplomacy is that you just don't know what literally the person is saying. Like,
yeah, like you have to rely on a translator, and there's always these things that they say
expressions and things. Like,
and there's always these things. I remember growing up. I mean, in here in Southern California, it's a highly Spanish speaking area. I used to have people try to tell me what somebody else was telling, but they're like, "Oh, I can't say that because there's not really a word in English for it, or there's not really that same meaning in English." You're like,
yeah.
That's so confusing to somebody that's like that doesn't know the language. I'm like, What do you mean that there's no?
Yeah, there's no English word for jerking off,
or whatever the may it be.
Steel magnolias,
right? Sad winks.
That's a callback. But I think that there is a weird thing about language. I think that there was just something that we just needed. I wish it was valued in a different way where you had like some way to not have high school.
You could just ingest the information in pills, you take a pill like once a week, you learn something new, you don't really need a school. But I would still think school is a good thing though, because it forces you to be with other cultures. So even if I was by myself, then that means if I was some white supremacist family, they're going to only feed me white supremacist info. Or maybe they can make pills that give me wrong information.
I think school, though, is just a place for children.
That just scared me.
Yeah.
Like the idea of like, hey, yeah, they can have you learn Mandarin Chinese, but could they give you a pill that makes you like learn things completely wrong? Like,
of course.
So they're going to fuck with your brain?
History books are always weird like that, though. I mean, you can already do that. I mean, how many misinformation shit is on the internet already? Shit,
yeah, right. No, right.
I mean, everybody's ingesting it already. That's true. Just now certain things are just utilitarian. It's like there's no social, like, opinion or, like, real, like, negative or positive construct. It's just a language. It's just, I'm learning these words. I'm learning this word means this. This means this. You know, this is how you say this other word. You know, it's one of those types of things where I just feel like if we could have, like, high school be at a different time in your life, it'd be really cool. Like,
not at puberty when everything's so fucking confusing.
I just feel like people were always about, like, let's have children be these, like, you know, don't let them labor. Don't have them put in, like, you know, we don't want them working. We can't have them be, like, working. They need to be learning. They need to be in school. It's like most kids don't want to be in school at that age. Like, they don't want to learn at that age. I knew so many kids in high school that didn't want to be in high school.
I totally understand with you, but here's the problem with the thought process. Because, like, I agree with you. Yeah. When you're older, you want to learn, but it's harder for you to learn.
Of course.
When you're younger, your mind is much more like a sponge, and you'll take it in and remember it better. Right now, if you told me the same info you taught me then, it's going to go right out my ear. Because, like, it's like it's harder for me to hold on to those things. I'm not saying it's impossible. And, yeah, because you're older, you might want to do it more. But I think it is better to do it young. Because how many people who dropped out of school go back. You know what I mean? Like, nobody, rarely anybody does. Like, if you dropped out of high school, unless you just go back for your GED, there's a few people that are going to go back and go to college or whatever. But once you drop out, you rarely go back because you start making money and now it's too hard to go back to school. Now it's too hard. Like, now you have a life. Now you have this. And to go back to school is harder when you're older. At least when you're younger, your parents are supposed to be taking care of you and paying for all these things. So that's why they're like, don't work. We got this. Go fucking learn so when you're older, you can go to work.
Right. Because then there's always a point where at some age, and it's always a different age for every kid, but it's like at some point it's like, I've learned enough. I just want to work.
Dude, I was like that in like ninth grade. I was like, I always was that kid that said, math, why do I fucking need to know this hard, crazy math? I'm never going to use this shit in my life.
Right. So and let then, that guy go.
And then the mathematician grow up and become billionaires. And I'm like, God damn it, I should have listened.
But what if they said, okay, instead of going to high school at ninth grade and you don't really feel like you're into it, you just now go become the workforce for the next 4 years. And then when you see how the workforce is, you go, wait a minute, this is stupid.
No, they'll never go back.
No, and you...
I don't think so.
What if it was easier? Like, you could do it, you could go back for free, just like high school.
I'm not
free.
Saying, you know, I don't know why I'm taking such a stance on this, but I just know for me, like, I couldn't wait to get out of high school.
Yeah.
But as soon as I did, I never went back to school. I never went to college. I never went anything else.
You never said, I don't want to learn anymore. Like, you
kinda,
still want to learn stuff.
Kind of, because if you don't go to college.
How you learn something instead of what you've learned. And it's like, oh, you learned it just by reading a lot of shit from the
It's like his brother. Because his brother went to college and got a law degree, bad thing.
How many people wouldn't, and I can't tell you because I don't know it. Where's Dominguez Hills again?
Okay, why is it so, going back to high school and stuff, another reason I think it was more important than the actual learning study had. Lots of whites, lots of blacks, lots of Asians, lots of Mexicans. We had a wide and only two Chinese kids.
Right.
You know, there's a pretty good size group for everyone.
Yeah.
But then that forces you to have those schools like in the South that still have whites only proms and black only proms. I do think that gave me a better appreciation for other cultures than just myself. You know, so if I go out to work at 16 and my boss is a dick, not black people, that guy's a dick.
Yeah.
And I think that's a benefit. If you go to this trade school, we're going to teach you to be one of nine things. That's your only choices in life. So, like,
right.
It's
just, how do we adjudicate and how do we value how people learn? Educational system. You know, why can't it just be you prove that you know that knowledge in some sort of way? You know, like, why do you have to, like, go get a website certificate from some website, you know, school, when you could just learn how to build a website and then have people go, okay, I want you to build me a website. And you go, sure. Instead of going, I can do it because I got this certificate.
I got the proof. I wonder, like, that's a good question.
They're going to just be like, I don't give a shit about some certificate. I want you to build me a website.
Yeah, isn't it more pertinent? Like, hey, look, I know how to fucking do it. Isn't that more pertinent to, than the paper that doesn't really prove
it? That's what I'm saying. I'm like, in the end, the paper doesn't mean shit. You could have a paper, and I could have no website in a month. This guy could have no paper, and I could have a website in a day.
Yeah, but and that's like a creative thing that I get. But like the people who want to go be
a doctor, maybe. Okay, you want to know that?
Oh, you better fucking go to school if you're going to be a doctor. I'm okay with that
from
one.
YouTube? Yeah, that's cool.
I don't want a YouTube doctor.
Don't worry, bro. I watched a few tutorials.
I'm Dr. Nick.
This guy showed me online how to do it, bro. Yeah. I'm pretty much an expert.
Dude, he did an appendix with no instruments, man. I got this.
That's the thing, though. It's like, it's where does it fall behind? Because now it's like we got a 120 majors, but really, like 50 of those majors, you don't need a piece of paper to do that. You could do it on your own and be successful without that education of, oh, I went to this school to learn. No, you could have just learned that by being an apprentice, by having a dad that was in it before you.
That's whatever. What I think they need more of. They need more like apprenticeships where you can actually go learn something because I mean, go hands-on.
Sure.
Because, I don't know. Fucking school sucks.
Yeah.
But I know you can go to Harvard for free online, so there. Take that. Well, I think we've reached about our limit.
Cool.
We're a little over an hour now. I think that's...
We can wrap it up right now.
Mm-hmm. But thank you guys for checking out us on Say Anything with Mike and Daryl.
Yep.
You can check out Almost Anything Podcast Network. Or what's our email? Almost Anything Podcast Network or just podcast?
Just Almost Anything Podcast at yahoo.com. And we also have an Instagram at Almost Anything Network. And you can also check us out on iTunes at Say Anything or any of our other podcasts that we do anything on, as well as anything out there.
Yeah, yo. Should be good stuff. So check it out. It'd be awesome. And Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, we're all out. We're out there. Join us. Hit us up. We'd love it. Until next time, man. Everybody, be good. Be nice. That's not the kick. That's my old one. Jesus, man. I'm all into the Smitty and D show today.
Yeah, it's a retro.
It is.
Smitty and D show.
No shit. All right, everybody. We'll see y'all next week.
Take it easy.
Laters, babes.